Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back, 34 after. Thank you very much for being with us today, for staying around. Dr. Joseph A. Aluto is our new friend and our guest this half hour. He's with the Fisher School of Business, the Fisher College of Business, I should say, at the Ohio State University, and he's the chairman of the business department there, and he's our new friend. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Now, let me make sure I've got your title right. I've called you the chairman of that department, but it's actually you're the dean of the school, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, dean of the Fisher School of Business. I didn't say that correctly. I want to make sure I get that right. Joe, over the last few years, I have interviewed other business school leaders about what they've been doing in growing entrepreneurs, and I'm excited about hearing what you've got to say. As I mentioned in my audience earlier, you're the first of four interviews that we're going to do with you and with three other members of your organization on what your school is doing to grow entrepreneurs. And I'd like for you've been doing this a long time. You've been in education a long time. You're an international scholar, and I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about your vision for growing entrepreneurs at the Fisher School of Business.
Sure, thanks, Jim. The issue of entrepreneurship is one that goes beyond the traditional approach that you find at universities in terms of focusing on classroom experience. Part of what you need to succeed as an entrepreneur, of course, are a set of technical skills that help you make the right decisions. But a great deal of what you have to succeed as an entrepreneur is driven by your own personality, by your own value system. And part of what a university has to do, what a school of business has to do, is to create an environment in which those values are reinforced and, in effect, nurtured to the point where they can come forward. So a lot of what we do with students, both undergraduates as well as MBA students, focuses on giving them opportunities to find new initiatives, to play with those initiatives, to move them forward to a point where there's a market reaction to those initiatives, and then to be able to learn from that so that the next effort will be successful. As you probably know, if you've talked to entrepreneurs, the true mark of an entrepreneur is not the big success they've had. The true mark of an entrepreneur is that they've had a whole series of failures from which they've learned, and that's what's led to the success.
And they live to fight another day.
That's right. So part of the strategy here is to try to provide consistent sets of opportunities for students to try things out, to see what works and see what doesn't work, to get feedback in a systematic fashion from faculty as well as from practitioners. And so the complex nature of the learning process is one where you have to be able to integrate not only students and faculty, but students, faculty, and entrepreneurs who can provide those that feedback, and then also provide the opportunities for the students to try new adventures. So those activities range, for example, all the way from an undergraduate group called the Business Builders Club that quite literally is run by undergraduates. They identify new projects. They identify the topics that students seem to need in terms of background in order to succeed. And they're very successful. They've been in a students and free enterprise competition, which they've done extremely well. And it ranges from that all the way up to a business plan competition with a $100,000 prize, in which students put together proposals for the creation of new businesses and then compete against each other. And we'll have 80 or 90 of those proposals coming forward each year. The assessment of the success, the probable success or failure of those is done by panels of entrepreneurs who've been through it themselves and understand the problems of having adequate cash. And even though they got brilliant ideas, if you don't have the cash to keep it going, you're not going to succeed. So it's a process that involves both formal education in the very traditional sense, but also a great deal of what today is called mentoring.
Yeah, and it's real world, rubber meets the road kind of stuff that really didn't exist not all that long ago in business schools, did it, Joe?
Right. I mean, I think what's happened is that the traditional model of, we're going to lecture, you listen and learn, works very well in, for certain kinds of issues and certain kinds of ideas. But when we start talking about entrepreneurship, a lot of it is experiential, and the learning has to be experiential.
How has the new model, so to speak, that's my term, maybe not yours, how has this new model changed the way you look at hiring professors?
Well, it's changed it in a couple of ways. The first thing is you have to understand that for a first-rate nationally or internationally ranked business school, faculty scholarship is still the main driver in everything that we do. But what we look for are faculty members in two different ways. We look for faculty members who've had some real experience in actually using the skills they have in business settings. So, we're looking for people who either have done a great deal of consulting work or have worked in firms where they've used their skills in accounting or organizational behavior or marketing or production, and whose research keeps them close to the leading edge issues. So that's one thing that's changed, I think, fairly significantly. If you go back 20, 25 years, you had a lot of faculty members.
Joe, I have to interrupt you. Let me stop you, and we got to take a quick break. And we got to sell some things. We're going to do that, and then we'll come right back with our new friend, Dr. Joe Aluta. Stay with us, 22. We're back at 17 till. Thank you very much for joining us. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Raleigh Pinsky is going to join us, and she's going to help us to promote ourselves. She's going to help us learn how to promote ourselves, do a better job of that, which I think we all probably need a little help on that. I know I do. And then after Raleigh, Don Cooper will join us, and Don is going to talk to us about the two issues of fear and selling, and how they go together and how they work against you sometimes. That's coming up in the next hour. We're visiting with our new friend, Dr. Joseph A. Aluta, who's the dean of the Fisher College of Business at The Ohio State University. And, Joe, we all remember, those of us who went to college and who took business courses, we all remember, especially if they've got as many gray hairs as I do, Joe, they remember the business professors that had never done one thing in their life in terms of actual business. All they'd ever done was to study business and to teach business. And you know, you felt like, I'm not saying we didn't learn anything from some of those guys, but you always look back and you say, you know, the guy would never have made it in the marketplace. And you were telling us a little bit about some of the criteria that you use when you hire professors these days. And I'm sure that if young people and their parents who are thinking about sending their students to their children to your school or any other business school, if their child wants to be in business, I'm sure it makes them happy to know that they're going to be taught by people who actually know how to do business.
Well, what we've done is we hire faculty members who are actively involved in research on leading edge issues so that they're dealing with the very issues that are facing companies today, and that's one dimension. But the second dimension is we do, I think, a fairly good job of mixing faculty members who are true scholars in the traditional sense with faculty members who have practical experience, who've been out there and who've done it and who nevertheless maintain a current knowledge of events. So we have a nice mix of individuals. The notion of only having faculty members who have PhDs and those are the only ones who are teaching students, I think those days are gone. We're looking for instead a portfolio of talents that gets represented in a faculty, and obviously some of that is the traditional academic excellence, but some of that is the practical knowledge of what does it really take to succeed. And when you start talking about supporting and developing entrepreneurial skills, that's a very important component.
I want to get back into some of the curriculum and some of the things you guys are focusing on, but before we do, I want you to tell everyone how, if someone's listening and they'd like to consider their child to consider your college and your university, how would they contact you? How would they find out more about it?
Well, the easiest way is simply to call my office, which would be 614-292-2666, and we'll be happy to send information or arrange visits to campus so they can learn more about it. We'll be sending them information on our Center for Entrepreneurship, which exists right within the College of Business, and the various programs that we have.
And the Fisher School of College of Business is there in the same part of Ohio as Ohio State is?
We are a small campus within the Ohio State campus. We have six separate buildings for our various business programs, but we're right here on the Main Street campus in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Now, is there a website?
There is a website, and I don't have the exact address, but I can get it.
Okay, we'll get that for you, folks, because I know a lot of people may want to just noodle around on the website and see some of the things you guys are doing. Okay, I like what you said about leading edge research. because if you think about it, you know, Joe, I remember when I started to college, one of the things they said was, you know, we need accountants, you know, become an accountant, which I decided not to, thank God. But but the thing is that by the time I graduated, that's the last thing in the world the marketplace needed was accountants. They had too many accountants. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you're on the lead, if you guys are studying, are doing research on the leading edge issues, that means that they're helping the 20-something-year-olds that are graduating, they're helping them focus farther ahead than just today.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our objective, obviously, is to try to provide an education that gives individuals the skills they need to succeed today, but more importantly, also helps to set them up so that they can learn and continually develop over time. And that's constantly changing. So, for example, one of the innovations here is that a student who would go, for example, into our MBA program and be very interested in entrepreneurship, but also very interested in the question of whether he or she has their own business or they're working in a larger firm, how do they drive excellence and constant improvement in those firms. Well, we have a process in which they can get both an MBA and a Six Sigma Black Belt certification. And we think that, in fact, is a major advantage for students who would come to our program. And that's just part of the regular sense of innovation. We generally here, unlike the days when you and I went to school, the curriculum here changes almost every year. There are new courses being added, content is being changed. The old notion that I think used to exist many years ago that a curriculum stayed stable for 5 to 10 years, those days are gone. A core curriculum does stay stable. I mean, you need to know accounting, you need to know basic production and marketing. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, there are constant changes to reflect the realities of operating in a dynamic global business environment.
What about the textbooks that you guys work with?
It's interesting that the textbooks provide a core, but the problem with textbooks is you know, they're written and then they're published. They're already partly out of date, mm-hmm. and so textbooks are only a small part of the readings. There is essentially a process now where faculty create their own text materials for each course, and those materials are quite literally updated every quarter.
That's what I was just thinking. If your curriculum is moving that fast, there's no way textbooks can keep up with that. And that's the reason
question. Well, it's changed, for example, the way you use a library these days. Mm-hmm. It used to be you thought of a library as archiving lots of old information, and therefore you needed a lot of space to do that. And what we do now is essentially use the library simply for the depository of chronic information.
Yeah. Joe, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Joe to tell us what they do with these entrepreneurs and how they get them ready to go forth into the marketplace after they graduate. And from a real-world standpoint, 10 tips. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7:10. We're visiting with our new friend, Dr. Joseph A. Aluda, Dean of the Fisher College of Business at Ohio State University. We're talking about how he and his organization are growing entrepreneurs, how they're helping these college young men and women to become better business managers of the future. And you know, and by the way, folks, I want to say one other thing. Joe is one of the experts at working with the China. He's been going over to China and for about 20 or so years, and he's been working with the people in that country on their education system, and he's agreed to come back another day and talk to us about those experiences that he has and to give us a little bit more insight into China. And Joe, I appreciate you offering that. Let's talk about these young men and women actually going out into the marketplace. Do you integrate during their curriculum, during their time with you, do you actually get them out into other businesses and let sort of farm them out, so to speak, into helping businesses in other communities?
Well, yes, we do that in a couple of different ways. The first is that through all of our programs, whether they're undergraduate or graduate programs, there's an internship component to this where we really ask them to go out and work with entrepreneurial firms that are in the process of trying to build, to see what it's really like. It's one thing to work on your own plan, to get your own investors and so on, but when you get into an ongoing firm that's trying to build, that's still in a developmental stage, it gives them an insight as to just how much discipline and how much focus it really takes but at the same time gives them a sense that if you're going to succeed in the long run, you've got to build an infrastructure that will carry on beyond the time of the entrepreneur. So that's one of the elements that's built into every one of the programs.
Now, some of the things that I'm familiar with is this isn't just if you're a business owner, folks. This isn't where you take these kids on to raise. This is a case of where they bring the information and perspectives and knowledge and systems to your business to help you, and it's a quid pro quo, isn't it?
Absolutely. The notion here we generally have is we like to identify a set of projects that the firm wants completed. We essentially wind up with a contract with the student saying these are the projects that will be completed. This is the value added that you're going to provide during this internship. And so it's a process in which the student learns a great deal, but the firm gains a great deal in the process. And we have, for example, it's not just small entrepreneurial firms that will sign on for these, but we have large firms that are trying to develop this intrapreneur kind of focus for their organization and are looking for outsiders to come in and quickly move a project through. And that's where some of our students gain experience that they need.
Right.
In addition to that, we also have, of course, each of our entrepreneurs, students has to identify a project that he or she thinks has the potential to create economic value. And we get them then out trying to actually implement those projects. And there's an assessment then of how successful or unsuccessful they've been and what they've learned in the process.
Right. Now, somebody, I want you to give that phone number out again if someone wanted to contact you about their child going to your school.
Sure, 614-292-2666.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I don't suppose we come up with that website.
If you want to get on the website, it's www.cov.ohio-state.edu, and that'll get you onto our website. Or else you can just get on our website and look for Fisher College of Business, Ohio State University, and that'll take you right to us.
Okay. Now, you have the undergraduate degrees.
Right.
Can they get an undergraduate degree in entrepreneurship?
They can get an undergraduate degree in business with a major in entrepreneurship.
Okay. What about the MBAs?
At the MBA level, they get an MBA which has a concentration in entrepreneurship. That's usually a concentration that's matched with some other concentration in the management of technology or something else, but that's the way it's done at the MBA level.
Joe, I have been saying for a long time that the 20th century was the century of the major corporation, but the 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think the issue for all of us has been how do you get innovation in an economy? And you get it primarily through entrepreneurial activity, whether that occurs through small businesses developing or it occurs within larger firms where there is an effort to sustain and support and nurture entrepreneurial activity. I mean, one of the big issues we face in executive education is the question of how do you get large firms to behave in an entrepreneurial fashion? And that is a topic that's of interest quite literally to every firm, regardless of size.
That's one of the big challenges we have of this century, I believe. Joe Aluto, thank you for joining us today. Good job.
Thanks, Jim.
And I'm looking forward to getting you back on another day.
Looking forward to it myself.
Joseph Aluto, ladies and gentlemen, the dean of the Fisher College of Business at Ohio State University. We're getting back another day. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.